Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. All right?
Yeah. I really look forward to these, you know. Is that sad to admit?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a compliment to us.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy it because I sit there thinking, oh, what are we going to talk about?
What should I say about that?
I mean, it'll probably be the same stuff we've been saying for the last six weeks.
Definitely repeat myself.
Actually, we've had a couple of really nice messages. One's actually from somebody I know personally saying that the podcast they've been enjoying, particularly because it's been helping them through some difficult times.
Oh, and you about to make a joke about that?
No, I'm saying honestly, like, because we do, I know this, we, you know, sit here and talk rubbish and everything, but it does make me think when you get messages like that, we should charge.
Well, they have to listen to all the ads now.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think we'll probably just leave it there.
If you'd like to join our Patreon.
And I was chuffed the other day because we had a Ghosts ad. Have you heard
the
Ghosts ad?
No, I haven't.
Omar was unimpressed by the Ghosts.
That's like your favourite show.
Ad. I was over the moon.
Yeah, because it's for some shitty... They're doing a book, right? Is coincidentally coming out in time for Christmas.
Right.
Of course.
You can't slag off our advertisers.
Don't do that. We need them.
We'll be taken off Spotify.
I better not say anything about Skechers then.
Oh. Or the troll movie. Anyway.
A lot's happened this week.
A lot, as always.
I think there's every Friday because we meet on a Tuesday and it's like, oh, this has happened. And then I'm like, bam, 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 bam. And I cannot keep up.
A lot to get through on a Friday, isn't there?
Should we get cracking?
Maybe we should. No more small talk. Let's get going.
We've decided what we're going to do is go through this episode by episode. That's the easiest way to try and make sure we don't forget anything. And we're going to start on Tuesday, partner swap. And the way we're going to divide that up.
So forensic. This is our dissertation on maths hysteria.
Paragraph one.
Let's start with the people who actually did do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it's such... I mean, I know it's put in for the drama, but I do think it's a helpful exercise, or can be. So I think it's a shame when people don't do it. And I think, like, the people who do it seem to get something from it.
Yeah, I was quite surprised because I
think it'd be fun. Yeah, awkward, but fun.
Yeah, definitely awkward.
It's like, hi.
I mean, I always think of it as one of these things that they do. So, you know, they've got 36 episodes to fill.
Yeah.
Yep, a lot of episodes.
But this time it did seem to be quite useful for Peggy and George in particular.
That's the one that stuck out for me, what they both learnt from being separated from each other, where Peggy and George have been struggling. Mm. You separate them and they're like, oh, the grass isn't necessarily greener, you know, for Peggy. And then it really made me laugh when Peggy and Matt were talking, and I don't know if it was just what was how it was edited, but it was like so boring. It was so boring, like just talking about the layout of the flat.
Oh god,
yours is similar to ours, looking in each room.
Maybe this is a bit bigger, but maybe not actually.
This is going to be a long week.
Actually it's the same.
Same, but higher up.
I will say, before you go too hard in on Matt being boring, that we found out that that week when they were filming that, he'd had news that his dad had had to go into hospital.
I didn't know that.
Okay, no, don't because he might still be boring. I'm gonna come back to this, one of your preferred sayings is both things can be
true. You can be heartbroken and dull.
Yeah, obviously we're gonna give Matt
I didn't realize that, bless him, because
that must be
distracting,
difficult. And when you're not with the person that you've been with, and you're an admitted introvert anyway.
No, that is hard. Right, skim past that thing, because now I feel like such a cat.
Well, no, now with this disclaimer, because I'm going to have a pop in later.
Well, no, it was just interesting, because when they had the bit up on the roof doing workout stuff, and I don't know if it's how it's edited, I don't know if it was just like weird music put underneath or whatever, but he said something and Peggy was like, oh, is that the end of the story? And there was just no reaction. And you could just see her starting to miss George. You could see it happening. Yeah. You could see the cogs going around and her going, oh, maybe part of being a clown and being entertaining is actually being fun and interesting to be around.
Can I say, I was outraged by Peggy doing lunges. I found it quite humiliating, to be honest. In a skimpy attire.
I'll give over. But you could see her really start to miss him. And then she was even saying to Cameron, wasn't she, of like, do you know what? It's quite quiet around here without George. I was like, no shit.
Yeah. She needs him to fill the gap, fill the silence.
Yeah, and then in the other flat, Adrienne was loving him.
Having a whale of a time.
Well, he is good value.
That's the first time I've seen him have fun.
Yeah.
I know.
I can't remember when I've last seen him have a laugh.
He was giggling, wasn't he? Yeah. And then they went lingerie shopping. Oh my gosh.
That was a bit random.
It's so funny. I know, it's like wrong on so many levels, but it seemed to bond them together. And they managed to do it in quite a platonic way.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't any weird undertones for them, those two.
No, it seemed like they really got on.
But then he was like, I don't know if I know her chesticle measurements. Oh, here we go.
And then he went into an impression, didn't he, as well, in the show.
Oh, he's back. There he is. There's the George we know and dislike.
But definitely, more fun to be around than some of the others.
It was obviously useful for Adrienne as well.
Massively.
Very. Yeah, she realised, actually, she needs more George-type banter in her life.
Yeah.
Maybe she needs those impressions, and Matt doesn't do them.
And, I'm jumping ahead a little bit from how she described it afterwards, but it's like, she says she feels exhausted, and it's like, if you are the bigger personality and you feel like someone else, she's doing a lot of the heavy lifting, basically. Mm-hmm. Because if a lot of conversation isn't happening naturally, I can imagine behind the scenes, she's probably asking him some questions and trying to have fun, and that is maybe quite exhausting after a while. Obviously, I feel for him if there's been distracting stuff happening at home. Yeah. But I think the exhaustion is probably... George comes in. What a breath of fresh air for her. And even she, before to camera, was being quite harsh on I've been put with George. You know, all the girls, we were saying, all the girls don't seem to like him. And then given a chance to get to know him, she loved him. So it's almost like people are judging him. It's like, who are they to... We never judge people on this program. Yeah.
Now, hang on. We bought 3 microphones, so we've really put the effort.
I just feel like, given half an hour with him, she liked him. So it was like...
Yeah, she was... I found it interesting when she said, I'm looking forward to see the real George that Peggy talks about.
Yeah, so she was obviously open to changing her mind on George then. She maybe hadn't decided, oh, he's like that and I don't like him.
And also, I guess, it's very hard to know without being with someone in person. But Claire will know this, some guys just give you the ick because they can be... And I thought that was George from episode 1.
Yes. You're going to say you thought that was Mitch? No. Well, you turned to look at
me. And then I got to know you.
Yeah, Omar, you're a sexual predator. But I think with George, that's how I would have maybe assumed he was.
Yeah.
And he doesn't... I don't feel like he actually has been that way.
No.
I feel like Adrienne seemed quite at ease in his company. Mm-hmm. He asks open questions and seems quite... He has quite I don't know what the vibe is, but like a quite a friendly, laid back vibe where he's not like being creepy. Yeah.
I do think yeah. it's, I think it was impressive that they managed to do the lingerie exactly. shopping platonically.
That's what I mean. That's
because
what I mean.
I don't know if I could do that with any of my female friends. It no. would be weird. It would be weird.
And obviously Adrienne is absolutely stunning yeah. and presumably similar in type to his normal type because she's, you know, blonde and gorgeous and Peggy. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? She's not a million miles away from
yeah,
her.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was impressive that that was done without an without a hint of creepiness.
Is it just the group situation thing for Georges then? It maybe on a one-to-one with somebody else, they do get to know the real Georges, as Peggy keeps saying.
Yeah.
But then on a group situation, he's got this different persona and that's what Peggy isn't into.
Where he argues in French across the table.
Something I didn't like that he did actually was when he went, when he was reunited with Peggy and they sat at the kitchen counter. He said, oh, I had a wonderful time, I had yeah. a wonderful time. And Adrienne's great, but she's fuck all compared to you.
I know,
you're still leagues above her. Yeah, which was, wasn't it?
Well, off. Yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah. I think he was trying to do a compliment and it came across, he had no reason to like, bad mouth. He had no reason to bad mouth Adrienne to get a compliment to Peggy, and no. actually it didn't make
it's
any
like
sense.
They're not in Adrienne, competition with each other,
and also Adrienne's stunning, and it was yeah. pointless. I know, yeah, that came across badly. Again, though, I don't think he necessarily meant that because he'd had a really nice time with Adrienne.
Yeah.
I think he was maybe trying to squash any jealousy that Peggy might have felt because you've been lingerie shopping with another woman.
Yes. Did you think, by the way? Because we definitely thought, oh my God, when she opens this gift, she's going to hit the roof.
Can I write down? Can I read you what Johnny said? Johnny went, oh man, I had my tin hat on there. I thought it was going to go bang. When Peggy opened the box, Johnny and I were watching behind our hands because we were like, she's going to kick off. She's going to yeah. say how rude and inappropriate. And she was like, oh, lovely. Yeah. I'll put these on later or something. And I was
yeah,
like,
she was
whoa,
chocolate,
that did
she?
Not go how I thought it was going to go. Yeah. I thought George had massively misread the room buying her lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
She loved it.
Yeah, he did go quite safe with the lingerie, though, didn't he?
Nice lemon yellow.
Lemon yellow. Yeah. It's not like your stereotypical sexy lingerie, is it?
Which is good, because so it would yeah. be awkward if he'd got her like crotchless black.
Yeah. He chose something safe.
Nipple tassels.
Didn't he? Yeah, not like the Playboy bunny outfit yeah. like Roz.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's buying for Peggy, not for Roz.
Yeah. Roz is an absolute maniac. Well,
that was an unforced error from George, and he made another one later, I think, at the homestays, which will come.
Oh,
to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
We've just had, you won't hear any of this, listener. We've just had, what, 5 minutes just going, who was swapped with who? Thomas.
It was
Thomas
really
with...
confusing.
Yeah.
I think we've seen this before, maybe on Australian, and they do straight swaps between the couples, and often it's quite confrontational, whatever, because, you know, Harrison was swapped with Mel.
Oh,
and it's like the couples are swapped directly, but because a few couples weren't taking part, obviously Erica and Jordan and Sean and Mark, who I don't know who they were planning on swapping them with if they'd taken part.
Yeah.
Because they didn't take part, there were no other straight swaps. So it was like, if it was like a domino effect. Like
yeah.
if you put them with them, they have to put, it's like, you know, when you've got to cross the river with a fox, a chicken,
and a bag of grain,
and Arthur.
Yeah.
So it was really confusing. So if we run it through, no, I can't even get it right.
But actually, there were two couples, so four people taken out of the equation, so they could still have done straight swaps.
I don't know what happened.
That's why I was confused. But anyway, let's just pick
yeah.
someone.
So Tom was put with
Laura.
And they went for champagne.
Yeah.
And she said, no, did he ask her? So who fits in better in
yeah,
this restaurant, me or Arthur? Which was like, oh, come on.
And they said, the scallops are divine.
And that was exactly what Arthur predicted they'd be doing.
Yeah.
Going to Chelsea to drink champagne.
I don't know what either of Thomas and Laura learned from that swap, because I think they're both fairly on the ball with what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, I was actually pleased to see they got on, because the last time I saw them chat, Thomas actually said to Laura, yeah, we find you condescending.
That's right.
He actually, and I respected him like standing up for Jordan, I think it was. It's getting so confusing.
Yes.
But yeah, they seemed to get on fine. So obviously that was water under the bridge.
Yeah, I imagine they are people who are reasonable and will can put a
kind of move
disagreement.
And when you've had four champagnes and a plate of scallops, what care you for? What care you for insults? Nothing to say on them. Okay, fine. So then, who was Arthur with?
Ella. They went to play tennis.
I don't think they got anything from that either.
They played tennis and she arrived in sky high heels, and I was like, oh, "Are you going to play tennis in those?"
Yeah, luckily but not. She didn't.
No,
but she did do a lot.
But she
of stretching.
Kept saying she missed JJ. Remember,
but then also that her and JJ haven't been sexual, which I was very surprised about.
So was I. I'm fascinated by this. I do wonder whether JJ's all in or not, because he's dragging his heels for some reason, like he did with Bianca.
Well, he said to his mate on the homestay that when he's serious, he likes to wait.
Yeah,
but I will come to the homestay, I know. But he also made a comment on the homestay to his mate that intrigued me.
Ooh, stay, we'll come to stay that. Listening for the intriguing comment coming later.
If I were you, listener, I'd just skip to the third part of the podcast.
Skip to the good
bit.
So
not much to say on Arthur and Ella. I was interested to see Paul paired with Roz, because I think Roz is probably one of the most mellow of the girls, probably one of the most fun and chilled, sort of. And I was like, oh, is this going to be interesting for Paul? Because recently, I said on the last podcast, Tasha and Paul are going really well, but since that, they've had this fight.
Yes.
And it sounded like she had her hands up in his face and was sort of shouting at him. Yeah. And she said afterwards, like, oh, well, he's not been in a serious relationship. He doesn't know that's what happens. And I was like,
you have an argument and you move on. It's like, well, that's different.
Or it gets quite like heated and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I feel sorry for it, to be honest, because I think, you know, we all get modelled how to like argue or what's the word? Like talk things out.
Yes. What's your fight conflict. Style?
Yeah.
How to approach conflict.
There we go. We all get modelled how to approach conflict. And if the person modelling it hasn't been healthy, whatever. So obviously Tasha is saying to Paul, this is normal. And I'm like, oh, red flag. But anyway, so I had that fight. And then he was put with Roz. And I thought, oh, is it going to be interesting for him to be with someone who's a little bit more chill?
Also, though, with Tasha, she said that it's because he's not been in a relationship before. Yeah. And it's like turning it round on him. It's his naivety, not her.
No,
I know.
Not her behaviour.
And for Paul and Tasha, it felt so unhealthy because they went and did the swap without having resolved anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that must be really painful. And when they came back, it was still bad.
I know, but then suddenly at the dinner party, they seemed okay.
Well, they sort of resolved it on their own sofa in their flat.
Okay.
But not in a healthy way. Mm. Just in her being like, you know, that classic thing we talk about where someone's like, well, we've got to leave it in the past. And it's just happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, how convenient for you.
Yeah, it happened now. Let's move on.
Come on, we've got to move on. It's not healthy to dwell. And I'm like, literally just
and
happened.
She did the thing of, I can promise you it's never going to happen.
Oh, I know.
Again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it just...
It is a bit toxic. Oh. And I don't think... I just feel sorry for her because I think she's got some like bad patterns of behaviour from other people's influences in her life, and
I think she probably does believe it will never happen again, because I think she probably does feel bad about it.
He laid down some good boundaries, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was like, that's not respectful and you can't do that again. So I really like him. I just want to protect him.
Well, this is it. This is the thing with saying I can guarantee it isn't going to happen again. I'm sure she feels like that and really, really does believe that. But she can't guarantee it isn't going to happen again.
Mm.
Because she probably would have said before it happened, oh, that would never happen. I would never do that to you.
Yeah.
So unless she does something about it and works on it somehow, it probably is going to happen again.
But this is where you almost want them to have more like intensive help from the experts. Because I'm sure she has the potential to be such a lovely partner to him. And they get on so well. And it's like, are we waiting for it to implode because of like bad patterns of behaviour? And you just want them to have, I don't know how much, you know, because we've heard when they sit on the sofa at the commitment ceremony, they're actually there for an hour or so, and like they get loads and loads of, I'd like to see a bit more of that, or know that they're getting that support.
So, all right, on to the next one. Who did Keisha swap with?
So, who have we not?
Tasha and JJ. I mean, there's not much to say about that.
I don't know if they actually showed them together.
They showed them talking about the argument.
Oh, right.
And I don't really know what we took
from
that.
Oh, my word, I do not remember even seeing them.
Did JJ not give some insight into that?
I don't remember it.
I don't remember even seeing them.
Yeah, we saw them briefly, like, settle in whatever apartment that we're staying in.
And it felt like Ella was comfortable with that swap because she considers Tasha to be, like, her best friend in the experiment. And it was like, Ella seems like not possessive of JJ, but probably would be a little bit jealous of who JJ was put with. So if she seemed really like happy that it was Tasha.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not all plain sailing, maybe, with Ella and JJ, like they've maybe wanted us to think.
Yeah, yeah.
Where actually her insecurities, and fair enough, like, she had a bad time with Nathaniel for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then now with JJ, she wants to feel really, like, adored and wanted. And yeah. It's like he can't quite give her enough at the moment to...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about the ones who didn't do it then. Sean and Mark?
Yeah. Oh, they're breaking my heart. They are breaking my heart.
That just seems so out of the blue, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's what
that
I was going
to
say.
All of a sudden we can't do partner swap. All of a sudden I need to work on this. I have to make a decision like now.
But he said... Sean was confusing me because he was going...
It's confusing the whole nation.
Yeah.
Because he was saying like, I need to decide. I need to make a decision. Then he goes to Mark, I don't see this going any further than friendship. Like, well, that sounds
that
pretty
is
definitive.
Your decision,
like,
yeah.
It was mad because if we remember their wedding, Mark was obviously projecting and he was covering for his own insecurities, but he was like, oh, I don't know if he's good enough. He works in New Look and I don't know, fancy him. And you know, he was really holding back. Sean was the one who was like, oh, I love this match. Like, I fancy him. He seems great. And I think with Mark, what you see is what you get to some extent. Mm-hmm. Like, he's this little pocket rocket. And if you fancy him straight off, that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
Whereas Sean's now pulled back so much on that and saying it's just a friendship that it feels like it's completely switched. Mm. And Mark's the one who wants it to work and really fancies Sean. And Sean's just like, oh, I'm really not sure.
I feel like we've missed a week's worth of episodes of him because I thought it was going to be, the narrative was going to be, Mark's a diva, makes for good TV, but he's going to be pretty annoying to be a partner.
And he hasn't been like that.
No, we haven't seen anything like that. And then suddenly we thought Sean's going to reach a breaking point and eventually he's going to leave.
Mm.
He's reached a breaking point with nothing to break him. That's what doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And what's actually been really sweet to watch and heartbreaking is the more Sean has wobbled, the more calm Mark has been.
Yeah.
And the more fair. And Mark's just been like, well, just tell me. Like, his body language and his demeanour have been the opposite of what I thought they would be. Mm-hmm. Mark's just been sat there going like, oh, you're breaking my heart. Just be honest with me. And he's stayed really calm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Sean's been wobbling. And I don't blame Sean for this, but it just seems to have come out of the blue. Sean's just been like trying to get his point across, but being maybe quite unkind, not unkind, that's not the right word.
It's unkind, but it's unintentionally so.
Yeah.
But he's going like, oh, I don't want to hurt you, but I need to make a decision about that. Just maybe you should just decide and then just tell him through. I think the process, I suspect the process has gotten to him.
It feels much more about the process than about Mark, because it doesn't feel like Mark's done anything.
Which is a shame, because I was really looking forward to doing some snidey tweets about Mark.
Oh, no!
Oh, Mark.
So many in the archive. What I don't understand is, obviously, you apply for this process, and part of the show is each week is different things that you work on, and it's about trying to find that bond, and it's about, you know, progressing or going, you know, back and forth, la la la. Sean has like removed himself from the process in quite a dramatic way, but Mark doesn't seem to have done anything to warrant a dramatic reaction. Does that make sense? So it's not so it's not like Mark's been really toxic and Sean's like, I've got to leave, or that something's happened. It feels like it's sort of meandering along. And why couldn't they even make it to the next commitment ceremony?
Yeah.
Well, this is what I wondered about. Why did a decision have to... Well, probably a decision had to be made quickly because he was struggling.
Yeah.
So he felt he had to make a decision and maybe get out.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe
the whole
just
process
wanted to
was
be
too
out.
Much.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. Yeah. It must be very intense. But that's what I'm hoping Mark will be able to take away. Because his self-esteem must be potentially in shreds of this guy ran away. This guy literally ran
away. Well, this is what I was going to say. Remember the stick and twist thing? He said, what I do is run.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so true.
And there we go. So he has actually done what he would normally do, even though just last week, stick and twist, I'm not doing it,
he has actually done it.
Yeah, you're so right.
So maybe it's just the getting close to someone, and because it's all accelerated in the process, it's just happened really quickly.
Yeah.
I do wonder if they'd been able to date, you know, and not been in the experiment, would they have had a different outcome, maybe?
If they could have had a day out of it, like JJ and Ella.
Gone to Thorpe Park.
Yeah, been on the outside.
Yeah,
it's what it's felt is very dramatic, based on no drama. That's what it's felt.
There's been a lot of people on Twitter going like, oh, well, Sean couldn't, you know, Sean must have been worn out putting up with Mark's diva-ish demands and all. It's like, but we haven't even seen any diva-ish demands.
That's weird. Like, Mark has come across really reasonable.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that from him. And it's made him more lovable. And I'm like, can't this...
can you not just stay another week and just see like what has happened that's so appalling?
I feel like we've just sort of, they've not even been in it long enough for me to fully be invested in my Mark's all right actually position.
I know, it's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it? It hasn't been very long.
They've come on, then they've gone already.
I know. That's what's, it's upsetting. And like, my heart really broke. I had tears in my eyes watching Mark. Like, for Sean to sit with him, someone messaged me and said, Sean kept sliding around in those leather trousers when he was trying to do a really serious like breakup speech, and his leather trousers kept sliding around.
He had some awful jeans in the episode.
But my heart really broke for Mark in that
because
final
scene.
Because
it was a proper breakup. That's what I said to you. It was like watching a proper breakup.
Yeah.
Whereas some of them implode with so much drama, it's just so different to real life, isn't it?
It's like the game playing, like, who can win the situation.
This one was much more gentle and authentic, and it was just like, you could
I don't know about gentle.
Well, what I mean is not shouty, one's throwing a glass. It was just Mark,
it was genuine.
It was just Mark gently breaking Mark's heart with his crushing in between his gentle hands. Oh, it was horrible.
Just as he's closing his hands, just, don't want to hurt you.
I don't want to hurt you.
Oh, no.
Can you still breathe? Oh, man. Oh.
It was very sad.
The other couple who didn't do the partner swap, JJ and Erica.
Jordan and Erica.
JJ and Erica.
Last week it was JJ and Luke.
I know.
This week it's JJ and Erica.
Can we just give them numbers?
It feels a bit war crimes to give them numbers. I could see both sides in that one, to sit on the fence and get splinters, because Jordan clearly has been quite shaken by this week, and he obviously, I understand a little bit about OCD, and it can be really debilitating, and you need some of your sort of familiarities around you, and probably Erica has become one of those familiarities. But it's such a shame if the other person misses out on something. Same way Jay has lost out because Luke had to leave. Erica's slightly lost out because Jordan didn't want to take part. And she obviously supported him in that. Mm. And then when pressed by Laura, realised she felt a little bit more strongly about it.
Yeah. At the time, though, I thought, just thinking of the partner swap episode.
I know, because I always jump ahead, sorry.
That's all right. It's
I can't help it.
No, it's fine. But at that point, she seemed a little frustrated, which was understandable. But, you know, given his reasoning, how can you...
And I actually think she handled it beautifully, because she made the decision, then she didn't beat him around the head with it. She was like, fine. She didn't punish him with it. She didn't say, oh, I really want to do it. Oh, fine, but you owe me. Like, la, la, la. She just, it seemed quite grown up. Unraveled afterwards, but it was grown up at the time.
Yeah, because because I did a tweet saying, oh, you know, what's his problem? You know, he said, how could anyone tell me where to live? And my tweet was, they've been telling you where to live from the beginning. What are you talking about? He's been like Leighton from Maths Australia.
He did remind me a bit of Leighton.
Yeah.
And then I unpaused the TV and he goes, I've got OCD. I was like, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah. Right.
Delete like, the tweet.
I didn't. I thought, I've done it now. Yeah. I've done it now.
No, I do. Yeah, I do understand a little bit about OCD. And I can understand, especially, you know, they've just had that bang on the door. And he is quite young as well.
Yeah, he is.
I think, like, I'm double his age. Like, I don't, not quite, but...
No, not quite.
There's a sense... Well, there's just a sense of, like...
Let's do the math.
Yeah. She's 55.
Don't age us, please.
I don't know. I can understand his reasoning. Yeah. It's just a shame. It's a shame for Erica, because you can't have one of you do it, really.
I know.
And that's it. And she respected his wishes, and then, you know, we'll come to it, but I don't feel like he maybe gave her the credit that she required.
Well, this is maybe a good time now to jump to the dinner party, then.
Okay.
Because...
The dinner party, or taffeta wars, because four people were in the same skirt.
Tulle. Tulle. There was a lot of tulle flying about, wasn't there?
It was funny. Tulle. It was funny when it was like two... It was funny when it was two of them, and then suddenly it was like three or four of them. I was like... This is a memo that went around somewhere in their, like, Nokia tent. Yeah, the dinner party.
Yeah.
With the letters, the anonymous letters.
Yeah.
So this is what... Well, it wasn't the letter that started the conflict between Erica and... It was Laura.
It was Laura taking... No, but I understood Laura's reasoning. I do really like Laura. And I think what Laura was doing was making sure Erica had the chance to speak to somebody and have her voice heard. Mm-hmm. So I think Laura was sort of like mother henning her and being like, well, how do you feel? Mm. And Erica was able to be like, well, actually, it's a shame. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of unraveled because I think Jordan doesn't like to feel like people are meddling.
Yeah.
Mm. But he's guilty of his own meddling at times.
Well, meddling, I think all of those situations he was asked for his opinion. I Jordan, and maybe his OCD does explain why I feel he goes on a bit.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's what came to mind when
he gets quite stuck on things,
I guess. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Can't move on from stuff. But he had been asked for his opinion in those situations. Laura wasn't asked.
But I think Laura's defending Erica.
Laura only had to defend Erica because it was something that was brought up at the dinner party that shouldn't have probably been brought up at the dinner party.
Yeah.
She can talk to Erica and say, oh, that's a shame. Yeah, I get it. I can see why you'd be upset about it. But I'm giving Laura some blame, but I guess I'm mostly blaming Erica. Like, why suddenly blow this up into a thing in front of everyone?
I know exactly what you mean. I think in her defence, I don't think Erica realised maybe how strongly she felt like she'd missed out until you go to the dinner party... Everyone seems to have learned something or experienced something from the swap. Yeah. She's got FOMO because...
Well, FOMO of what? Fucking living with JJ for 2 days.
No, I think like you're probably quite... I don't know if bored is the right word, but you're in this block of flats and there's themed weeks. Yeah. You know, like...
Mexican.
I was going to say fajita week. And like if you're missing out on one of the themed weeks... Like Anne Summers week has been a girl. I think maybe, you know, there is a sense of like it's a group experiment and you haven't been part of that. It's as small and minor as it might seem, like these minor things blow up. I could see both sides. I could 100% see why Erica supported Jordan but slightly felt irked she wasn't doing it. And then when pushed by Laura, or asked by Laura, pushed maybe is the wrong word, when asked by Laura was like, yeah, no, in fairness, like it is a shame I didn't get to do it. And then when Jordan sort of shuts it down, she's like, well, come on, like there's two of us in this relationship. You didn't want to do it, so we didn't do it. Yeah. But I'm allowed to say that, like, it's a shame. I think that's all she was
doing. Yeah, of course. And I would say that if he hasn't expressed his appreciation for her giving up that opportunity, that's wrong. He should definitely be appreciative.
She said he hadn't, he said he had. So then it's just he said, she said.
Yeah, because which is these two, let the other person finish a fucking sentence. You know what I mean?
I do.
Good.
Claire definitely does on this
there
podcast.
You go. We both finished. No, but I think for Jordan, I wonder about how the dinner party situations like feel for him and whether he goes in there quite on the defensive from the get-go anyway, because his experiences of dinner parties have been people go in on him, or even like the girl-boy split.
Yeah.
These group situations, people go in on him.
Unanimously. Yeah.
And then here he is in that situation again, and he felt like Erica, Laura and Arthur were going in on him.
And
so he went
normally,
on the defensive and it blew up.
Erica's normally the one, at least on his
side.
Well, I would say, though, that it wasn't unanimous this time because Thomas said some lovely stuff to him
before it all started.
Oh, that was before, yeah.
He was saying, you know, I don't want you to feel isolated and, you know, I know you might think people don't like you, but you know, I'm here for you if you want to have a game of table football. What did he say? Something like
go to the gym or... Yeah.
You can have all the beautiful accents, cut glass accent you want. You can drink as much champagne as you want, but that was really gentlemanly, wasn't it? That was really lovely behaviour.
It was very intuitive as well. Mm-hmm. Like he must have had that thought of, if I was Jordan, I would probably feel isolated or, you know, so he was able to put himself in his shoes a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Thomas seems like just a really genuinely nice guy.
It was nice that in the middle of that speech, he stops and said, just a second, I've got to give Roz's love egg a buzz.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
How can we forget about that? It's so funny when this program, you can have someone sat at a dinner table with a love egg on vibrate and it's just another part.
It's just
part of the show.
Falls down the list.
And it'll just cut to, so Jordan suffers from OCD. Oh, that's a gear change.
It's like when
Do we think this is what Charlene was referencing in our interview with Charlene?
Oh,
yeah, when maybe. She said there's a mega sexual moment. It must be. If it's not this.
What is it? Someone comes in strapped up in whips and chains. And yeah, I mean, I was not expecting that. Do you know what I find funny? How do they still manage to be sort of cute? Like, whatever they do, it's like two little dormice with a love egg. Because it's like, it still doesn't feel like hypersexual to me.
Yeah.
It still manages to feel really sweet.
Yeah.
And like, Roz is like giggling away and I'm like, bloody hell, this is quite like...
Yeah, so it, I know what you mean, but it doesn't feel crass, does
no,
it?
No, I know. It just...
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. They manage to make it almost like cartoon characters or like, I don't know what it is. It's like...
Good on them though, like, you know, they're
it's funny,
yeah, open to exploring
and then stuff. I couldn't work out whether the vibration sound had been added by the production team or was being picked up on her mic, because at one point it was really loud and it was like,
yes,
because
Michael Harmston, who sometimes gives us a bit of inside info about production stuff,
yeah,
he had we had a little exchange and I think it must have been added afterwards.
I did wonder, because nobody was really reacting around the table.
Yeah, they're not going to mic up the mic up the love egg.
We just got to put another mic down between your legs. Yeah, but what, I did think it had been added, but I was like, gosh, if it's that loud, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, good on Thomas, because he seems to have taken on board what's important to her.
The letters. Arthur was raging.
Fuming.
He couldn't let it go as well.
Mm-mm. Kept looking at it. Did you notice it? Other people were reading their letters out loud and he's just looking at his, just reading it. Oh, I can't even remember now what was so that made him so angry.
It was the same stuff as before.
Mm-hmm.
The patronizing. Laura looks down on you, is condescending. I think it was that.
Which in a way is him angry on her behalf then, because nobody ever says anything bad about him. Oh, all they say is you have to think before you speak.
Oh, there was that, wasn't there? And then he didn't. And the experts commented on it, didn't they? Something like that. that's what they meant.
Yeah. Do you know what I find funny with the experts? Sometimes they seem so in the dark about what's been happening. And it's like they know a lot less than us.
They do.
I think they only see the dinner party.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they're like, oh, they've broken up and they've left. Yeah, and I'm like, you're
where's
the expert.
Where's that person gone?
I know. And I'm like, how do you know so little?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing where they want it to be like a more... everyday therapeutic thing when they get to the commitment ceremony, but in reality as a viewer we're like, why aren't you picking them up on XYZ? It's like, well, they haven't seen
XYZ. They don't even know.
They're just going on what they've seen at the dinner party.
I can't remember anything about Laura and Arthur's letter that was particularly worse than anything they've already heard, or maybe it's just feeling like it's repeated and you've already heard it and already tried to sort it and then it gets brought up again.
Well, I think it was definitely a bit of a seed of what's to come with that.
Wow. He has a fiery side. He has a grumpy old man side, basically.
Yeah.
And then with Paul and Tasha's letter, which actually, it felt like he'd been written in a relatively fair way.
Yeah, it was.
You pulled her up on this. She demanded to know who'd written it. When it's an anonymous task and she couldn't take that criticism. And then I thought George acted impeccably. He did. I thought he was amazing, because I'm really becoming Team George over here. He immediately admitted it was him who wrote the letter. Yep. Not only that, he didn't drop Peggy in it at all.
Yeah.
And his reactions were just so whip smart, because he was like, fine, it was me. And like, you're taking ownership for that. It's quite a scary thing around a dinner table when someone's like, who the fuck wrote this?
Yeah.
Me. But it wasn't Peggy. Peggy added the nice bits. Wasn't that really sweet? I thought that was lovely of him.
Yeah,
it was.
It was courageous and it was really kind.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't give a shit about
those people. I know. But I think I would have really struggled. If you write an anonymous letter and you try and pour out what you think's necessary to write or whatever, and then someone demands to know it was you, I'd be like, oh crap, have I got to say? Like, I would falter a little bit before I said it was me,
because you said it in the safety of the anonymity.
I think it's rude to ask who did it. It was immature
because around that table you've all got to take the criticism.
Yeah,
but actually Tasha said something that did stick with me, which was like, she feels maybe like a bit of an odd one out, because she said, well, you guys, you're just listening, you just hear my voice.
I think that's a proper
cop-out. Oh, she did. She said something like, just because I talk differently to a lot of you.
I don't
think...
She
said something like that?
Yeah, she did. And I understand what you mean, but I don't think it's a full cop-out, because she does have a way of present, like you've said, she's like Kerry Katona.
She's like Kerry Katona.
So if you have a way of speaking or holding yourself that is a little bit different to a lot of people in the group, you're maybe going to come across a bit more aggressive. And I know she is aggressive. Yeah. No, I know, but there is some truth to that. There's some truth to maybe how we judge how she holds herself and how she speaks. Yeah. And she obviously feels it because she said it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having it. I think there's an element of truth to that.
Well, I think
she wouldn't have said it if it didn't tap in to insecurity, an insecurity that was there
about
in that group situation,
her accent or her like vocabulary, or there's something in there.
Yeah,
doesn't excuse her demanding to know who wrote the letter.
No, but it's not even excusing it. It doesn't explain it. Whether it was Laura or whether it was Tasha, getting in someone's face.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know.
You know, it's not to do with a class issue.
Yeah. Mm.
In what context? Context is very important.
Context.
In what context did she say that?
I think because in the letter people were like, oh, you're quite confrontational or you're quite
about
rude,
her delivery or, sometimes.
Or delivery. And so I think she was like, you know, you guys, yeah, whatever she said.
Yeah, well, right. she's not going to call someone a Neolithic simian.
No.
Most people aren't going to do that.
Totally.
But I think it's just an easy thing to... And because it is understandable, it's an easy thing to use that as your anchor of like, well, this is why people... Don't
she
like
hasn't
what I'm doing.
Said it before though, so it was interesting to hear.
Yeah,
that's obviously how she feels. I just thought it was interesting.
And maybe, oh yeah, that is quite interesting because maybe she's feeling the loss of Jay. Because
are
actually,
you talking about working class accent?
Just one Jay, not two Jays, just the one Jay. Yeah,
yeah.
Because they kind of, you know, seemed very close,
yeah.
And she's lost an ally there, hasn't she? Who is someone who has a northern accent?
Yeah.
Whereas now she's outnumbered.
Yeah.
Quite significantly, actually, if you think about it. So maybe she's feeling the loss of an ally.
There are a lot of posh accents this
year.
When
of
you
posh
think about, you've got Tom, you've got Laurie, you've got George.
Yeah. Lots, and Peggy's got a southern accent.
Yeah.
Sort of related to Tasha, I guess. And again, both things can be true.
Yeah.
She.
Don't you love my saying? It's not mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure you coined it. Tasha might be working class and also aggressive.
Yes.
Matt might well have issues going on at home with his family and also be boring.
Oh, bless him. And so some people, he's their ideal guy. Dependable, big arms to cuddle you. I just think Adrienne wants more laughter in her life.
Yeah.
And people want different things. And I love someone to make me laugh. I love that cheeky chappy. And like, I couldn't be with someone who was really sincere. I'd find it really icky. I'd find it really icky if someone was like, so beautiful this morning. I'd rather they just like,
no.
Johnny like hides behind the door and jumps out at me, and it's like the most romantic thing he could do. Just want someone who takes the piss out of me and keeps me humble. But I think Adrienne just, he's just not quite the right fit for her.
He's clearly a nice guy,
but
he's,
also they're reading from completely different hymn sheets.
Yes.
Because he was like, he totally misunderstood what she said, because he was like, yeah, I'm giving you my best self, this is me at my best,
and this
like,
is why it's good.
And I was like, no, she's saying it's bad.
Yeah,
she's saying it's bad. And
we're all hearing this, apart from you, Matt. Yeah.
And I did say before, like, I think she's been doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and it was all coming out, like, she was crying, wasn't she, of just, like, feeling exhausted. And it must be really disappointing as well, because they got on really well at the wedding. They thought they were a perfect match.
Yeah.
And maybe they over-egged it a little bit.
I know.
Because if you start from there, listener, I've got my hand in the air. If you start from high, you've only got... You can either plateau and do well and stay...
She's lowering her.
Or you can...
Hand is going lower. Not too low.
But yeah, obviously they started well, and then it started to tail off quite rapidly.
No.
And there's nothing wrong with him, but he's not for her.
Yeah.
Because he's not cracking her up and she wants to crack up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of think.
And then he even said, I've been trying to make you laugh.
Yeah.
Did you hear that
bit?
Oh,
God, I felt sorry for him.
I did as well, and it was really sweet because it's like you take on board what someone says, but you can't make yourself a different personality. He's not going to be Jim Carrey overnight.
Yeah.
And he's dependable and he's lovely, and like, there's nothing wrong with that. And for somebody better fit for her, she really reacted to George's humour.
Yeah,
this is the thing with somebody else. They might find him, he might be well be really funny, but he's not feeling comfortable with Adrienne to for that to come out of him. He's obviously not a natural showman, but
and we're different people. We're different people in different environments. So if you put Matt with someone quieter, maybe he'd take the reins of being like the entertainer to an extent. And if you put Adrienne with a huge personality, maybe she'd find herself being a bit quieter because someone else would dominate. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just in the sort of dynamic they have. Adrienne's been doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
the toil is showing. Bless her.
Oh, I like them. I feel sorry for them both because I think she did really want it to work, didn't she? And I think he does still think it is working.
I know.
But he's not hearing what she's saying.
Which actually, he is sweet, but it's almost worrying how little he was listening to her.
Yeah.
Because she was in tears.
How has he not heard that?
She was in tears saying it's not as good as people think. And he was like, it's really good. And I'm like, are you listening to what she's saying?
Yeah. Maybe it's too hard for him to admit, especially in that situation.
Yeah.
Group situation, everybody's looking at you. You know you're being filmed. You know, can you admit, oh yeah, it's not going all that well?
And also, I guess it's a very personal thing because what she's saying the problem is his personality.
Yeah.
But he lives in his own personality. Like, it's him.
Yeah.
He lives in his personality. So he's not going to be like, oh, suddenly I'm in a dull scenario. He's actually in a wild scenario compared to his normal life because he's with Adrienne, who's presumably louder than he's used to.
Yeah.
So for him, maybe he does feel like it's going well because she's chatting away and she's asking questions and she's trying to make him laugh and that sort of thing.
Yeah. They're having very different experiences, aren't they?
Do you think they're going to last past the next commitment ceremony, which is, I think, next week? It's the final commitment ceremony. I don't think they're going to go to final vows.
I think he might put stay.
Yeah, I think he'll put stay. So she'll have to stay. But I think she might right leave.
Yeah,
right.
I think she might.
Because I think she probably realises that, like, it's not much fun if you have to work this hard to gel with somebody.
This soon as well.
I'm sort of a bit confused by when they said, oh, everything on the honeymoon's not, everything's going really well. Like, I would assume a big part of that, similar to what you said, would be, oh, we're having lots of laughs and banter and that.
I think you're on holiday. Yeah. There's activity. So they're on holiday. They were doing like the because there was like the pool. There was probably like unlimited cocktails. They did like the pottery class. They're having sex because they had sex quite quick, didn't they? So they're like, I think there was a sexual connection.
Yeah.
And they just met. So it's probably like, oh, how many brothers and sisters have you got? It's like that. It's like getting to know what GCSEs did you do? It's like getting to know each other where the questions are a lot quicker and more forthcoming. Yeah. And then when that dulls down, what's left?
Yeah.
So it's like the first date sort of.
3 weeks in just going, just remind me how many brothers and sisters have you got.
What's your favourite colour?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think probably they were buoyed at the beginning by the like 15 questions you can ask a new person.
Yeah.
And then when those are done, they're like, oh crap.
Should we start them again?
Well, do you remember they both said they like their steak medium rare? And they were buzzing. They were buzzing that they were so similar. I was like, oh, this doesn't bode well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We're going to move on to homestays. We're going to talk about Ella and JJ to start. And we thought we will start with Sarah's insights into Ella and JJ's homestays.
It just made me laugh because they were driving to his house, his silver and white and silver house. Mm-hmm. And he was like, had my first fight over there. I didn't know what he was going to say. Because I think sometimes if you're showing somebody your hometown, you're like, oh, I went to school there, or like had my first kiss there. And he was like, had my first fight. And it just made me think of last week. We were like, hankering after a fight, are you?
JJ what?
Imagine JJ in the park being like, just hankering after a fight. Is anyone keen? And then we got to his house. And Ella's one criteria for her husband is, he's got loads of Prosecco in the corner. She was buzzing.
Yeah.
Did you know that? I think Prosecco's only just taking off in America, you know.
It's a ta- What do you mean? Is that a joke?
No. That was very random. Who's American?
Isn't it just the Italian version of champagne?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what it is. Oh.
Why's it taken up in America?
Well, this is it.
Hear about it first.
I was listening to an American podcast, mm-hmm. and one of the guys on it was talking about his wife, saying, oh, my wife and my mum were all just drinking this drink called Prosecco.
Prosecco.
Yeah. Prosecco.
And he said, and they got it at Lidl.
Oh.
Yeah. Was it Aldi?
Yeah. But anyway, with the...
We'll probably back to the UK.
We'll leave that in.
Debatable.
Yeah.
So they started at Ella's, though, yeah. Didn't they?
Yes.
I got it the wrong way around with the houses.
Yeah. So the JJ went.
Nanny Val. Exactly. Sorry, Nanny Val.
And Ella made her a cup of tea, but not a rum.
Yeah.
I love her. She's such a funny character in her chair.
Because she was.
Have you had sex with him?
I know. That's how you'll know.
Up the creek.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the other one.
Oh, that really made me laugh. Yeah. And Ella was like, "I've switched husbands. Doesn't matter. I can't remember the other one's name." She's so team Ella, that granny. She's good value, brilliant.
Isn't she?
It's like Ella can do no wrong, and she's so supportive. Yeah.
Well, I think that Ella's looking after her, so she probably has to be smart. You like him, don't you, Nanny Val? Otherwise, no toast for you.
Oh my gosh.
It was funny though how they had Nanny Val sitting there reading a magazine. Yeah. In a dressing gown, as if she didn't know they were coming in. You know, just reading that. Oh, hello. She's so surprised to see them.
Yeah. And Ella always asks such leading questions. He's hot, isn't he, Nanny? Like, you love him, don't you, Nanny?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, he's great.
Well, it was a slightly different response when they went to meet JJ's mate, because he was like,
oh, he was shocked.
He didn't know, like, what?
Did he not know that
this?
He switched?
No, he didn't.
So he was expecting Bianca.
I think so, yeah.
Right. I mean, she's still a blonde, like, the similarities, but yeah. He was probably a bit like, she looks a bit different to the day.
Yeah.
Well, he did say that she is much more in his wheelhouse.
Can you imagine how strong a type JJ must have? Because that's all we ever hear.
I know.
All we ever hear is he has a type. Do they all look identical?
Yeah.
How boring. Yes. What a boring way to live.
I know. Yeah. It does seem like that, though, doesn't
get
it?
Get some variation in your life, babes. Yeah.
You don't want it. He tried Bianca.
But that wasn't even... This is what pissed me off. That's what pissed me off. It wasn't even variation. It was still a hot blonde, like thin. Like, she was still exactly what he normally goes for, as far as I'm concerned. It wasn't like a massive difference.
Well, he said he likes the fake look, and Bianca's not really fake.
Well, she has a hair extension business.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean, but it's not like she was like some mousy librarian who's never seen a fake eyelash.
But even with the hair, he doesn't want some little Romanian
librarians
girl's hair.
Are hot too, by the way. Sorry about that.
He doesn't want some like little Romanian girl's hair. He wants something synthetic.
I know, it's just
actual fake hair.
Yeah. Nylon.
Oh, sorry, I see what you mean. She was too classy. Yeah, so his friend was really like shell-shocked, wasn't he? Well, not shell-shocked, he got over it quick.
He got over it very quickly.
Oh, new wife, fine.
Yeah.
And then she went off, and this is where
This is where he said to his friend, this is what interested me. She has said and done things on nights out that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I would like to know what these things are.
Well, if I hazard a guess, Nathaniel said Ella, after a few drinks, would be like jokingly propositioning people of like, who wants a threesome? Do you remember we read about, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, to be fair, but when Nathaniel did his press interview, he talked about how there's an Ella you don't see on the show and it's been edited favourably, and she has a wild side when she's had a few drinks and she'll say inappropriate things and all that. So I wonder whether after, and obviously for Ella, it is a front. She's admitted that like she'll say sexual things to mask her insecurities or whatever.
Yeah.
But when she's doing it with JJ, that feels like a real shame, because she actually really wants it to work with JJ and really thinks mm-hmm. has a future. So to still be going back to those sort of behaviours of like, I don't know what it is.
No, but is this a bit similar to the whole Peggy and George thing on some level then, actually? I like this part of that person, but I don't like that part of that person, so they have to change it.
Yeah.
Because he kind of said something like, oh, we've had a chat about it and, you know, she's going to work on it. And it's a bit like, well, if that is part of what she does, you're kind of going to have to accept that as part of who she is, not expect her to completely change it.
I guess it's a compromise between not trying to change someone, but also, you know, how the experts have said to George, it's you, not we. No, what was it?
It's we, not me.
I can't get that right.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a sense of like not changing your personality or not asking someone to change their personality, but understanding that you're in a relationship and like if something upsets somebody, can you turn it down a little bit or can you talk about it? Or you know, but yeah, I know what you mean about that because I think JJ might have had a bit of a red flag moment and... He didn't fully.
Well, it's they're in a bit of a bind because Ella wants some sex.
some penis. What's the D? Yeah.
And he doesn't want to, he says, because he only does that when he knows he's serious. But then she's not going to know that he's serious because this is a problem she had with Nathaniel. So it's like, it's all very convoluted. It doesn't seem very...
I don't know if I even believe that about JJ.
I don't.
He's been, like, shagging around LA, as far as he'd like us to know. Like, from what
The VT in the club?
Yeah, the persona he gave off at the beginning was this, like...
Playboy.
Playboy, yeah. Exactly. I was going to say fuckboy, playboy is much nicer. This playboy persona. And so now, I mean, credit to him if this is what he actually does, that he waits. But I don't... doesn't feel like that's what we were being sold at the beginning.
No.
And then red flag, sorry, I keep saying red flag, get a new vocabulary, but like I wonder if Ella is now like, oh crap, I thought this was the relationship where he'd be all in, like I've switched from Nathaniel to come to JJ and JJ's given me similar vibes to Nathaniel where it's like, why can't I get any sex? Why can't I? It's not just about the sex, is it? It's about the attention and the affection and like getting validated.
I guess going backwards, which we very rarely do, to the dinner party with their letter, she was saying, I'm just embarrassed just talking about sex. Nathaniel didn't want sex, JJ didn't want sex.
I forgot about that bit.
Just talking about sex all the time. Oh. Which is, to be fair, she does talk about sex all the time.
But when it's... But I guess it's that thing of like, you know, when someone slags off your family or whatever. You're like,
you know, that's a weird.
If I mean, my sister's giving, listening,
giving,
I'm sorry.
You're giving yourself away there. It's like, you know, when you kick a dog. What?
You can kick your own dog, but when someone kicks your own... What I was going to say was, if someone speaks ill of your family, you're like, only I'm allowed to speak ill of my family. So it's almost like Ella talks about her sex life in a jokey way. If people are actually discussing her sex life and she's made to look unfavourable, that's when it upsets her, which I do understand. So it's like, she can joke about her sex life, other people aren't allowed to joke about her sex life.
She was
really uncomfortable and actually really felt for her. It felt like... I think for her, it felt like the same thing was happening again.
Yeah.
People talking about like, oh, why is Nathaniel not wanting to be affectionate with her? And now it's like, she doesn't want the same with JJ. And then JJ handled it like relatively well because he was like, I do fancy you and like took her hand.
He's done this before. I remember you saying this when on the commitment ceremony, Tati couch.
Yeah, he said there were things that he fancied about her that
weren't just physical. Yeah, you light up a room and all this. And I don't just want to slag off JJ because, you know, I'm getting a bit bored of it. but it just sounds very pat, very standard things to say.
Yeah.
Oh, you're kind.
They weren't niche.
You know, I don't know.
I'd like to be in his head. I wouldn't. I wouldn't like to be in his head.
Okay, you have a lot of room.
Room to stretch. I wouldn't. I'm just curious. I'm curious where his head's at because he's obviously jumped ship to Ella. He was saying that they had this huge connection. Yeah. And like, is that connection, is he still feeling it? Is he starting to panic that he's made the wrong decision? Or is he so into her? I'm not necessarily saying this is the case, but is he so into this? Like, right, let's just take this nice and slow. I really like this girl. Doesn't necessarily feel like that.
No, I don't. No.
One that went a bit better, Thomas and Ros.
Yes.
That was nice. Yeah. He had the shark outfit. I don't
know why. Oh, bless him.
So random.
And then he was like, Roz hasn't been here 2 minutes and she's already talking about drugging my mum.
Oh, yes. So they can have sex.
Yeah. What did you say? Get the Pyriton.
Yeah,
make her drowsy.
Antihistamine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's such a funny side to Roz that you just, you see more and more of, and you're like, yeah, this woman is into her sex life. Anyway, but yeah, they were cute, weren't they? Like,
yeah.
It was nice that his mum could see the connection between them.
His mum's accent always throws me because he's so southern in terms of his, like, London, sort of like, Queen's English, and then she's really
But they did a lot of travelling as well. If you remember back to his he spent
Bali, that was it, didn't he go to school in Bali? Then maybe it was like an international school. Was it Bali or somewhere?
I don't know.
Anyway, the mum is lovely and seems to like Roz.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she knew Roz was planning to drug her and she'd be sad because he'd like her so much. Oh, butter wouldn't melt.
Wakes up to the sound of a headboard just smashing against the wall.
My God.
Oh, gosh.
Jordan and Erica.
Yep.
It's just mega awkward, isn't it? Because she goes for drinks with her friends, but they haven't resolved their own issue. So obviously, it's going to be awkward.
All just rumbling on through both homestays, wasn't it?
I'm not saying I would be able to do this because it is difficult if you're annoyed at somebody, but you want them to disagree, like, right, let's just get on for this. You're going to meet my friends. And like, if we're still mid-fight, that's not going to translate very well. So my friends aren't going to love you if we're mid-fight. Let's just agree to disagree. And like, I do care about you. Let's just go in and...
Yeah. But the other side of that is, I suppose, they're going to be asked to talk about that stuff their friends, aren't they?
That's true.
They're going to be told, right, talk about this with your friends.
Yeah.
So the argument's just going to come back.
I know.
Because under normal circumstances, if you were going out to meet your friends, that's what you would do.
Yeah.
Like, look, we want to have a nice night. Yeah. Like, we need to set it aside. Like, let's go and have a nice time. But they have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it makes good telly.
No, true.
It's like, remember Frank Skinner doing a bit on stage about, like, arguing with your partner. It's like going to see a band who've been around for a few decades. Like, the arguments are like, they'll have some new stuff, but eventually you'll come round to the old favourites.
Oh, yeah?
And that's
probably right.
They just got caught back in the same things again, just talking over each other and just like, you didn't listen to you dismissed my feelings, how did I dismiss your feelings?
I do love that Gen Z terminology though, because I feel like there's a lot more awareness with the generation beneath us of like, having your feelings heard and making sure. And I like that because that's some of the stuff that we wouldn't have necessarily had ways to verbalise before. Like, you're invalidating, like, I wouldn't have said that to somebody when I was 24. You're invalidating my feelings.
It just wasn't even a phrase that would have been flying around.
Not at all. You just would have sucked it up and gone, ah.
But I wonder, and this isn't aimed at any Jordan or Erica or whatever, because I do agree with that generally, but I also think a lot of people just misuse that kind of thing.
Yeah, they do. Of course they do.
Oh my goodness, definitely.
But I think it's healthy that people, especially men, are able to talk about how they feel, or at least feel like they're allowed. I don't know what I'm saying, but it's better than it was.
Well, this sort of came
there's room for movement, but
this did sort of come up with Jordan, where they were saying, if you need help with your OCD, then you should get help.
When they're with his mum.
Because this is it. The argument seemed to rumble on until they met Jordan's mum.
It was a bit calmer there, wasn't it? I guess Erica was probably thinking, I can't slag him off to his mum.
So just by default, everyone was a bit calmer.
Yeah.
And Jordan's mum was like, yeah, I can see you getting wound up now, Jordan. Like, I can see
can you see worrying about stuff.
Because she obviously knows.
Stop being
a little prick.
Never.
And then she had some really sweet advice right out of 1997, which was go ice skating or bowling. Laser Quest.
I think they'd love that.
And get Frankie and Benny's on the way home.
I think they'd love it.
Yeah, they were saying there's competitive...
They're both headstrong, they're both wanting to get their point across. I guess we all know, like, a healthy relationship, you just have to sort of agree to disagree. And well, it's not even that, it's like you can't point score and expect to either of you to win.
Because
it's not about winning. It's not about winning.
Sorry, Omar, it's not about winning.
Well, I'm going to come back to a few of these points later. It's interesting. I remember point scoring. George and Peggy had an interesting homestay because we got a message on Instagram from, I think the name was Zoe, sorry if I've got that wrong, but she was saying, I've never wanted to know more what happened in the bedroom. Because they progressed the relationship.
They progressed intimacy.
Yeah.
That's what Peggy kept saying, didn't she? We progressed intimacy.
But didn't have full sex. So second / third base.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's all about the bases.
Oh,
speaking
God.
Speaking of Americans.
Yeah.
Prosecco, fourth base. The thing that made me laugh when they walked in was George's flat looked like one of the experiment flats. It was like they hadn't left the block.
It did.
It was so similar.
Yeah.
At first I thought I was watching the wrong bit.
He seems to have a nice setup with all the monitors and everything.
Peggy was so pleased it didn't smell. Like, you could tell that was like a non-negotiable.
She liked his apartment.
She did.
Yeah, she was saying it was like she was expecting something, I imagine, grubbier and seedier.
Seedier and also like dominated by like Xboxes and stuff, whereas he just has his little seedy corner.
Yeah. Keep it contained.
Now, 3 hours of gaming, 3 sessions of gaming lasting 2 to 3 hours, I think he said.
Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays.
Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. That's his schedule.
and he does not want to deviate from that.
He doesn't want to let people down, doesn't want to let his community down.
Yeah.
The problem is she doesn't respect the hobby, because if that hobby was like, he does fencing, or he is like a watercolour painter, or I'm trying to think, or like, he's in the rowing team. I'm trying to think of ones that she would think were cool, or she would think were like knight in shining armour, he's on the rowing team. If he said 3 days a week, 3 hours, she'd be like, ooh, very good, like, you're really into it. It's just because she doesn't validate. She doesn't respect it.
And there's a slight difference in that, given that we're not in a totally dissimilar world, that there's an opportunity to make money from it. So, you know, it's not the same as going to, I don't know. If it was rugby, for the sake of argument, then there's also potentially financial.
Well, this is his side hustle.
Yeah.
This is his side hustle, and I very much doubt he's going to give it up, because if anything, it's going to boom when he comes off the show. Because if we hadn't heard of his Twitch before, everyone's heard of it now.
Mm.
So he's not going to give it up, and she just needs to work out if she can deal with it or not.
With that kind of thing, you have to be consistent. Fair enough, if it's one thing about him playing his Xbox and he likes playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, every Tuesday night.
You can do that.
That's Johnny! And he doesn't make a penny out of it.
And is it 3 hours?
No.
Oh, okay.
More like 2.5.
And it's only once a week.
And how
is it only once a week?
It's once a week, but if I'm out, he'll play.
And how much of that?
I never go out.
so he can't play.
Sucks to be him.
How much of that time does he spend trash talking 8-year-olds?
Oh, yeah. No, he's talking plays with his brother. It's pathetic. No, I love you, darling. But, it just comes back to the fact that she doesn't respect that specific hobby or that side hustle. And so if you don't respect it, like, you're not going
to... He made... I alluded to earlier that he'd made... couple of unforced errors. One was that slagging off Adrian, but this one, like the priorities thing, because he'd gone so far into it, I thought he just wasn't going to mention it, which in a way would have been better.
Yeah,
because you would assume. Because
he's
then
only
he
got five fingers. He's going to get his socks off and start counting on his toes. And at 11th place, it's your mum.
It was mad. I thought, like, I know he, and he wasn't doing it in like a particular order, but just when you get to 3 and you thought, shit, should I have mentioned her at 1? It's too late now.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think he was going to mention her.
Yeah.
And then he decided to mention her, which was the worst thing he could have done.
Because then she was number 5.
Yeah, and because obviously he could have stopped and not mentioned her and gone, and obviously you're at the top, so I didn't even put you in the list because you're too important to be in a list. He could have saved it, but he did not save it. But then she gave him such a specific example trying to catch him out. So if on a Friday night, my mum wants to go for a drink with you, what would you do? And he's like, well, I'd have to do... Like you say, he's
can't
got
let people down.
Yeah, he's got scheduled times.
When he was apologising, then he said, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to phrase it that way. Family, you're always going to be most important to me. And I think...
He was saying what she wanted to hear.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and then she was happy.
Even if he thinks he means it, a month in when he's missed 6 sessions of his Twitch.
And also I feel like she would, I feel like I have to say, like, I do like these people, but I feel like she would test him as well, because he would say, right, on Friday I'm doing my game, and she'd be like, oh, well, Friday I wanted to meet. I feel like she would put things on dates
Yeah.
Is that harsh? Maybe she wouldn't, but...
It says more about you. It's inside into your mind.
What would we do?
Well, in 3 weeks' time on a Friday, I wanted to get a Chinese. he was saying what she wanted to hear. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And he's been guilty of that before, yeah. I think.
And
yeah.
I think that shows not a vindictive side of him, more of a not been in a relationship before side of him, where he's like, oh gosh, these women are hard to please.
Yeah.
Just say what you think they want to hear, and then it appeases the situation, because he doesn't like when she gets upset, because she is quite sort of... She's quite a stickler, isn't she?
Yeah, well, she said herself, she's black and white about it.
This is what I've been saying.
There you go. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I've been saying that every week.
And now she realises that.
Yeah. It was a shame, because it felt like it was going well for a split second. They were cuddling in bed.
Well, this was it. This was their homestay all over. It was so changeable, wasn't it? It's good. It's not good. It's good again, because he said, yes, you are the priority. Who knows what happened the next night, the next morning. Maybe it's not good again. It was just so changeable. Every time you saw them, they were somewhere else in their relationship.
And when they were cuddling in bed, they both said, oh, that's just what we needed. It was a bit like a carry-on film. But it seemed quite sweet on a level of like both being happy where they were at. And I was like, gosh, this is suddenly going quite well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then cut to 30 seconds later, and he had his fifth finger out doing his list. And her world fell apart again.
Yeah.
The problem is you can choose to take somebody in a good way or a bad way.
Yeah.
So I think if you want a relationship to work and you believe someone's got a good heart, you could say, well, did you mean to put me in the bottom of the list, or did you just... Do you know what I mean? You can sort of give someone a chance to explain themselves. But I think sometimes she's looking to find fault, or
maybe kind of hurt by it.
Yeah.
So then it's difficult for her to resolve it. So he just sort of says, no, 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 backtracks.
I don't know how I've become so strongly Team George.
Because of everything, virtually everything Peggy's done, I'd say.
I don't know, I just feel like he's a bit misunderstood.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Mm.
Poor little white man.
No, with his home in the south of France.
I know, it's terrible, darling.
Get out the tiny violins.
Right, though, talking about people, whether you should just say what people want to hear, or sometimes just bite your tongue, etc. Arthur and Laura's friends is what I've been looking forward to.
I don't want to talk about her friends again.
What?
My heart sank when it was them. Can't they meet someone else? Like, they came to the thingy, in-laws week,
whatever it
was. It was them. Yeah. Now it's them again. And maybe, that's probably how Arthur felt, poor Arthur.
Maybe they're launching a podcast.
Well, let's not promote that on ours.
I feel like, because, they don't come across great. I feel like it's a shame, because it doesn't paint Laura in the best light.
No, it doesn't.
That those are her best friends.
Sorry, go.
Well, no. You're allowed to interrupt me. It's 100 to 1. I just feel like I could understand why Arthur didn't behave very well, but I could understand why he got to that point, because they didn't give him a chance from day one. This was the third time meeting. They were mean to him on the first time, they were mean to him on the second time, so on the third time he was like, well, fuck that, I'm just gonna I don't condone that, but I could see how he got there. They never gave him a chance from day one.
This is it reflects badly on Laura, because we said last week or the week before, when people were saying, oh, she talks down to Arthur, she's a bit condescending, we all said we haven't seen any of that as viewers. But now suddenly, because of her friend's actions, I can see it. I can imagine it totally.
It was a tricky one, because she couldn't even really defend him, because at that particular occasion he wasn't acting great. He was being quite rude to the friends, but that's because he was at the end of his tether. So she didn't defend him.
Yeah.
The friends didn't like him, and nobody... It was just horrible.
It was awful.
They're awful.
They never gave him a chance, basically. And like, they were looking for fault from the wedding. And at the wedding, when they found out he got his vows off the internet, which is such an innocent like little error. It's not good. It's not good. But when you find out that English is his second language, and you know, the guy hasn't been married before, he doesn't know how you do your vows. So just go, oh, well, that was silly. But they made such a big thing out about it.
Yeah.
And then met him the second time. He explained it. He said he'd redone his vows. He said about doing it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Not the best explicit. Arthur isn't blameless through this whole relationship, but any mistakes he's made have been relatively minor and ultimately understandable.
Quite innocent things.
Yeah. And they're just properly going in on. And the lack of self-awareness that they have, that they're like, he'll say, you know, they're talking about what's going to happen after the experiment, and he's saying, well, I've got this house
in Milton Keynes. Yeah, it's so specific. Number 12 Milton Keynes Way. Milton Keynes.
Yeah, and I thought,
he's got 2 weeks there, he's not going to be a marriage in 2 weeks.
I think they wanted some broader picture stuff, but again, it's like they were so unimpressed. He's like, let's see what happens. I'm like, oh, let's see what happens.
He didn't answer their questions very well. And I could see, if that was the first time they were meeting him and he was that abrasive and that unhelpful, but it was because he was at the end of his tether, having met them 3 times. If that was the first time you met him, you'd be like, why is this guy so like angry or like grumpy or whatever? But it was because he was sick of the sight of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But then he didn't quite appreciate, because when he was in his defense, he was going like, well, the only person whose opinion I care about is Laura's. And I'm like, well, you're going to lose her good graces if her friends don't like you. So that's the problem. Like, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Women very rarely can stay with somebody if their best friends hate them.
I know.
I mean, how do your friends feel about him?
Well, we've got this far. I felt sorry for Arthur in that moment. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And a lot of the things they were saying he was being were exactly what they were being towards him. And he was responding sort of like for like in a way.
Mm.
So it felt like Arthur got the blame. Because, you know, perhaps he was a bit rude and dismissive. And, you know, when one of them said, oh, I've had enough or whatever, I've seen enough. He's like, right, bye. You know, it is, it's not ideal, is it, at all?
That's funny, though.
But he said that because of the judgment that he basically...
He was
just judged him from the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's what they were doing in that interaction as well. And he'd felt it straight away and had enough of it.
What I wanted to bring up, which we'd already mentioned earlier, was point scoring. By that stage, it was just who's going to get the best line in.
Yeah.
And Arthur was doing that. They were just going, oh, he's really rude. He's got a tone. It's like, you ain't got a fucking tone. Fuck you.
And then Laura just had her head in her hands.
I know.
And was... If it wasn't comical, it would have been sad, because it was like she couldn't really defend his behaviour.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to just leave him out to dry. So it was like...
She did look upset at one point, didn't she, I thought?
Totally. Because she couldn't really defend this guy. They haven't seen him in his best light, I guess. And so she knows that he's a sweet enough guy, but they've been like dismissive of him at the wedding and thinks he just like copied his vows. And then seen him get angry at this dinner thing. But that's because of how they treat him. Obviously, we know that.
Mm.
But they're just... They don't think they've been horrible to him. They think they've been like, the protective friends who come in and make sure their girl's got a good guy.
Yeah.
But it's not about putting someone on the spot to get the best out of them. Yeah. You're not going to get the best out of someone if you just grill them.
Yeah. No.
It's not SAS Who Dares Wins.
In his own bar, no less.
No. You know when he went to get the drinks? He went behind the bar, he was pulling the
Yeah.
I know, I keep feeling for the boys. Why am I switching to the boys' side?
Because women are fucking hard work. That's the top and bottom of it.
I think the problem with this show sometimes is the friends come in and the friends think that they need to like prove a point of how protective they are of their friend. Or their friend's the best person ever. They're such a catch. Nobody's good enough. And it's like, well, this is not going to end well if you're scaring everybody off or being quite rude.
Yeah, they actually haven't really supported Laura in this scenario at all, have they? Because if they had, it would be more about getting to know Arthur and who he really is, and then figuring out, you know, how they fit in with that.
Rather than
let's put him on the spot, let's test him, let's catch him out. No, you see, he's not good enough for you, I told you.
Exactly.
I mean, how is that helping her to find a relationship that's going to benefit her life?
And if they thought about it, they would know that she must have said stay already like 6 times.
Yeah, so she's still in it.
Exactly. So they'd be more curious. I think one of the best things you can be is curious. They'd be more curious about well, why she said stay? Yeah. We're getting quite a rude side, but he must be lovely deep down. Let's try and find out more about him. Let's try and find out, like, yeah, where he comes from. And, like, they weren't, yeah, you're right, they weren't actually supporting their friend ultimately. No. They were just trying to, like, they were thinking of the short term rather than the long term, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Can we stop talking about them now?
Yeah, all right. I'll just go back on Twitter and start bitching about them.
Small aside, because me and Johnny couldn't decide if he was joking or not, did Jordan genuinely think Scotland was in a different time zone?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think he did.
No, he didn't.
He did.
I thought he was joking.
No, I think he did.
That's what Johnny said.
And I think if Erica had been in a better place with them, she'd have found that funny and they've had a good laugh about it for a long time.
She's like,
but she was so annoyed with him. And then he went, we've been travelling all day. Just like 4 hours.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm just giggling over here. Carry on.
End of the giggle.
It was because we were talking about Adrienne saying you've hit the chink in the nail. It's like some of the nonsense you come out with.
Getting all the idioms wrong because I'm an idiom.
But yeah, we've got what's coming up next week?
More homestays?
More homestays. Then dinner party commitment ceremony.
Did you say it's the last commitment ceremony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, bloody hell.
Then yeah, we're nearly at the end.
Bloody hell.
Bloody hellfire.
So if you've enjoyed the podcast, please
big if.
If you tolerated the podcast, please follow us at Maths Hysteria on Twitter for live tweeting during the show and on Instagram for other great maths content. But for now, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me, Claire Limmer Abid.
I'm gonna just say I feel that you two don't really care about how I feel.
We nah. do.
We love men.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.